Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
The Lord on tonight, once again, you are now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We come into you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, my guest is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. As you all know, he always shares with us an inspirational poem first, and then he delivers a powerful word from the Lord. So you know you're going to need your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along as we get ready to go through God's word together again, once again on tonight. So as we always do, we always open up with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. And we love you because there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth within your hands. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. You are a promise keeper. You are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people, that you will be glorified through each one of us. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, so that our work for you on earth will not be hindered, and it will not be in vain. That way we can move forward and complete our God assignments in the earth, that you would get the glory through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Father, we come now lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted, whether it's in mind, spirit, or bodies, those that are dealing with PTSD or disorders, those that are thinking about committing suicide, they have suicidal thoughts, those that are depressed, those that are sick and afflicted in any way, Heavenly Father, we release them to you, Heavenly Father, now in the name of Jesus, because we know that you are still healing. You're still setting your people free. You're still working miracles and wonders on the earth through your people, for your glory. We ask that you will move by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick and afflicted in the name of Jesus, as only you can. And Father, we also lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. Continue comfort and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray now, Lord, and lift up all those that may be listening in on tonight that are not saved in Jesus' name, who do not have a personal relationship with your son, Jesus. It's our prayer, our hope and desire that something will be said through your man of God on tonight, through your word. We first of all will receive your word. They will hear it and receive your word. Then after receiving and hearing your word, they will open their own mouth, even on tonight, and confess their sins. And they will ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them, even on tonight. And after they have become saved, they will be known. He will reveal to them what their God purpose is, so they will know it and they will fulfill it in the earth. Your glory is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will get the glory because we know it's not about us. We thank you for this worldwide ministry and this worldwide platform that we don't take it lightly or for granted. We know it is your doing and it is marvelous in our eyes, and we give you glory, honor, and praise for it in the name of Jesus. So have your way on tonight. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes in. Even to those that have tuned in on tonight for the first time, continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we want to lift up all those whom you have anointed and appointed in the earth that you have called to teach and preach and deliver your word, Heavenly Father, your men and women of God that have been chosen as vessels. Teach and preach and teach your word, Lord. And not only teach and preach your word, but be living examples and epistles of your word. Continue to bless each one of them, the works of their hands, and the ministries you have placed them over, and their families, that you will get the glory through each one of them, individually, and then as a corporate body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we have another spiritual food for thought, and it comes to us in the form of a question. Who's really first place in your heart and life? That's a good question on tonight for each one of us to examine ourselves once again to make spiritual food for thought. Who's really first place in your heart and life? You don't have to say anything. God knows it. And you know it too, just like I know who's first place in my life. It's personal. So the question is, who's really first place in your heart and in your life on tonight? That's the spiritual food for thought. So we're going to go to a music break. We're not going to do any announcements on tonight because I want to give Deacon Marvin Cox the allotted amount of time that he may need to deliver God's word. Again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem first, and then he's going to go directly into God's word. So following the music break, I hope and pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox during the music break.
You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, the Lord God, he is worth us giving him glory, honor, and praise. And Jesus thought that our life, your life, my life was worth living, that he paid our sin debt with his own sinless, righteous, and precious holy blood on the cross, that we can be redeemed back to our Heavenly Father and our Creator. Aren't you grateful on tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King? Well, before I bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, I want to give a shout-out to none other than my bishop and my pastor and shepherd, Bishop James A. Jennings, Jr., and my church family, the Greater Children of Faith Baptist Church. I want to give a shout-out to them and also to all of my sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus who are still on the battlefield being faithful doers of God's word and not just hearers only. So right now, I'm so excited to bring forth my brother in Christ once again, Deacon Marvin Cox. I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Once again, I'm just awestruck at the responsibility as well as the opportunity to bring forth God's word on this evening. Thank God. I thank Brother Brown for giving me the chance. And I thank the listeners, especially the listeners, for making this all possible. For without your participation, this show would not go on. The Lord have a good, the Lord has a good lesson for us tonight. But first, I'm going to do the poem. And the poem is pertaining to tonight's lesson. The poem is called Later. I'll do it later, said the procrastinator. It can wait a while, said the slowful child. Right now, I'm tired and uninspired. I'll be fine if I get it done by the deadline. What's the hurry? There is no need to worry. Remember, in all you say and do, there are so many people who think just like you. I won't go to the party until the party is hopping. I won't go to the mall until everyone is shopping. I won't go to devotional until the choir starts to sing. I won't get there early for anything. As long as the ushers let me in, I won't come into the sanctuary until the preaching begins. Time says I owe you no favors when the Lord gives you an assignment to do. If you don't get it done, that's entirely on you. You had more than a time to complete your task, and now for more time, you foolishly asked. What about the idle hours that you took for yourself and put the assignment the Lord gave you on the shelf? Did you not know there is a price you must pay when the Lord gives you something to do and you constantly delay? Putting things off until tomorrow has led to many a sorrow. Completing your assignment in advance will lead you to a much better circumstance. Do this while you still can. Don't wait until later. Your time is about up, oh great procrastinator. Falling behind is never any fun. Don't let the Lord catch you with your work undone. Amen. We're going to immediately go into tonight's lesson. I'll be reading to you from, it's a familiar passage of scripture. I'll be reading to you from the book of Matthew, gospel recorded by St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse, and it reads, "But seek ye first," and I'll be reading out of the King James Version of the Bible, "but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I just read unto you from King James Version of the gospel recorded by Matthew. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify souls forever. Now, our topic for tonight is First Things First. And we're going to cover things like procrastination, delaying, and so forth and on. And so we're going to deal with that procrastination first. And we have to go over here to the 25th. Got to go to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I will read to you concerning the 10 virgins. Verses 1 through 13, the 25th chapter. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh.'" I just read unto you once again from the book of Matthew, gospel recorded by St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. And that's what we're going to lead out tonight with, and it's concerning procrastination. Now, I know you all know of the parable of the virgin. What it says here is that they were all virgins. So if you know about the virgins, you know that they were pure. They were pure in the body and possibly pure in their soul. They were untouched, untarnished. But the Bible says that 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. We're not going to talk about the wise. We're going to talk about those procrastinating, foolish virgins. And this is a hint and a wake-up call to all of us, because there are some spiritually good people. There are some people that do their husband and their wives right, that are morally good people. But sometimes during the course of a day, these foolish people, they procrastinate. They do foolish things. And this lesson is telling us that we have to have spiritual preparation. When the Lord gives us an assignment to do, it behooves us to carry out that assignment to the letter. Now, procrastination is being unprepared or putting something off to a later date. But if you know what the topic says tonight, it says first thing first. And the lesson was telling us, the topic was telling us, the scripture was telling us, but seek ye first. So that first thing is first. So God is first. If we go over to Exodus, the 20th chapter, the first few verses, it says, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. So this is telling us that we must keep God first. We cannot, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So God should be first in my life, first in your life, first in our life, first in our children's life, because he said, why? I'm a jealous God. I don't want you putting your job ahead of me. I don't want you putting your wife ahead of me. I don't want, because all of these other things will be added. But first, I got to be right with my master so that all of these things can be added. And I see, if you know about addition, you know that these addition that I already got the gift of life, but he added on to me, and I can speak for myself personally. He added on to me a wife, a family, a house, shelter, utilities. See, you see the sequence of these things, what happened? Because why? I kept first things first. And see, we had this opportunity over the last few years to keep God first. Now, I'm not here to put nobody down. I'm not here to talk down to nobody. But did you take advantage of that opportunity that we had? Or did you get so involved in those soap operas that was on TV and the politics that was going on in the untruth that our president and his cabinet was telling? Did you get so caught up in politics that we forgot all about God? But see, the scripture writer was telling us to keep God first. The kingdom, which means the king's domain and all those things that pertain to it. I'm supposed to, on a daily basis, when I first, when that word again, when I first get up in the morning, I'm supposed to give thanks to God, to be thankful in all that he has done for me that particular day. When I lay down to slumber at night, the last thing I should do also is to give thanks, to be grateful for what God has done for me. I'm not to, and see, when you procrastinate in the church, you're doing and you're bringing harm to yourself. Why? Because there's no other way that I could put it, putting God on hold. You know how sometimes you're on the telephone and then you talk to one individual and then another individual call you, and then the individual that you were talking to, it may be an important conversation, but we excuse ourselves off the phone and say, well, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, this is how we do God. Because we tell them that this call that is waiting for me is more important than the call I'm already on. When somebody calls us away from God and we abandon our conversation, we abandon our ways, we abandon our spirituality, it's just like putting God on hold. Now, that's not a good thing to do. Because, first of all, he says that he's a jealous God. He's telling us don't put nobody, nothing in front of him. We're supposed to tell that individual, look, I'm talking to God right now. I'm communing with God right now. And that's the most important thing, because those individuals that we talk to, they don't have the gift of life. They don't have nothing to do for me. They can criticize. They could put me down. They could scandalize my name. But see, God is going to lift me up. He's going to put me in that position where I need to be. So we're talking about procrastination, how the virgins, how they did. They were not spiritually prepared to receive the bridegroom. Now, see, whether we know it or not, we're on a journey. Whether or not we have know it or not, we have been given the provisions that is necessary to help us navigate our way through the treacherous storms of life. But are you prepared? And see, when the time comes and we have a lack of preparation in our life, it could be hurtful, it could be painful, and in some cases, it could be deadly. Just like we're out there driving, and the car tells us, because nowadays our cars talk to us, they're not like they used to be. They tell us your oil is low. Check your brakes. Do this. Transmission is going out. We got so many different warning signs, but see, we get adjusted. Fuel is low. We get so adjusted to those warning signs that we procrastinate. Say, I can make it to the next gas station. I'll get it fixed when I get paid. So these things that we do under the title of procrastination, we're not putting first things first. Now, this is not scripture, and some people have mistaken it for scripture. But Benjamin Franklin said, why put off tomorrow what you can do today? So that's a good idea. If I can do it today, and I'm going to have some scriptures to back me up on this very same thing, because scriptures tell us to work. Why is it yet day? For the night cometh, and guess what? No man can work. So this is all a part of this great procrastination. And I'm going to be bouncing back and forth as we speak, but midnight came, and it was time to go into the ceremony. And they had slumbered. But they would woke up and say, hey, wait a minute, it's time, you know how you're going to get ready to do something. And then you want to take a nap because you want to be fresh for that event. When you go on a trip, you want to get a good night's rest before you take on that trip. But then, guess what? They discovered that they were not prepared. Their lamps were low on oil. Their lamps did not have any oil. And so they rolled off, their buddies, their running mates and everything, which were the wise virgins. They inquired of them. They said, why don't you loan me some of your oil? But they said, no, not so. We just have enough. And see, you got to think about this. They only had enough for themselves. So why are we giving away that which God has given to us? Well, we won't have nothing. We got to look at that. And so, but the wise virgins, they say, Albright, I tell you what, it's a 24-hour Walmart just down the road. Why don't you go down there and get yourself some oil? But in the meantime, while they were going to get that oil, the wise virgins, they went into the ceremony. And the door was shut. And God says, his word says, when you open up a door, no man can close. And when he shuts the door, no man can open it. So they came back. They had their lamps full. They went and they took care of it. But you know what? It was too late. The procrastination had run its course, and they missed out. She said, please, let us in. We're only a few minutes late. And how, you know how, sometimes we may go to a merchant, and I know it's going to happen to me on many occasions. And I get there, and as soon as I get there, that red and white sign comes down to my face, and it says, close. And, all I want to do is buy some toilet paper. All I want to do is get some milk for my baby. But the merchant say, I'm sorry, this is after hours. I am not opening up the door for you. I don't care what it is that you need. Come back in the morning. But see, when the door is closed, as far as God is concerned, there ain't no coming back in the morning. You shut out for life. So the door was closed unto them. And the bridegroom said to them, I don't know you. I never knew you. Because if you knew me, you know I believe in punctuality. I believe in you coming when you're supposed to come. I believe in you doing what I asked you to do. Because Revelation, if we go to Revelation, it tells us you had ample enough time to repent. And you repented not. Why are you coming before me, old procrastinator? You had more than enough. Because, see, God is not a slave master. The Lord is not a slave master. When he gives you some time to do something, it's not going to consume all the time. You're going to leave a few minutes on the schedule for you to do what needs to be done with yourself. So this procrastination that I'm talking about, this keeping first things first, see, because, see, God, he will reward you. His word says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And see, reason I'm preaching so hard tonight against procrastination, and that is because today may be given, but there is no guarantee about tomorrow. So when the opportunity comes, you know, I like to go to the Value World, the Goodwill every now and then, just browse it around. They got some good deals there. And one day, it was this ice cream maker. And I had been wanting an ice cream maker for a long time, and it was a reasonable price. And so I said, I'll come back and pick it up later, in a few minutes. So by the time I walked over to the other side of the aisle and came back, my ice cream maker was in this older lady's basket. So that's just going to show you how fast something can happen. You'll miss out if you procrastinate. How many times have we said, I started to do this? I should have done that. But see, when we procrastinate, we put these things off, we don't keep God first, then he tells us, when your calamity come upon you, I'll look at you and laugh and turn my face. Because see, some of these things, some of these things kind of like bring upon ourselves. And I can imagine the virgins saying to themselves, when I could, I wouldn't. Not that I want to, I can't. So while the blood is running warm in our veins and opportunity is there, it behooves us not to do or to do what it is that the Lord would have us to do. Now, if we go over here to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse. Now, this is basically what I've been saying. It said, don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. See, and this almost sounds like we should have an obsession. And that obsession is to work the work of him that sent me, to do God's will. And once we do that, as I said, we're going to have time to do other things. Okay, now we open in Proverbs 6 chapter, the 6th through the 8th verse. And listen to what it has to say. Take a lesson from the ant, you lazy. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard, with the emphasis on hard, all summer, gathering food for the winter. If you look outside, our days are getting darker and darker and darker. Winter is not here yet. But winter is coming. And God's word often make references to insects or animals to let us know or to inform us of their ways. You talk about the foxes have holes, but the man, son of man, has no way, nowhere to lay his head. But if an ant is smarter, and he don't have no president, no governor, no prince, giving him instructions on how to prepare himself for the future, just like that ant. If God put those instincts inside of an ant, that little bitty old industrious ant, we should also have, and we do have that instinct, but we're constantly putting things off. We constantly feel that now is not a good time for us to do that. Ephesians 5, 5th chapter, the 15th to the 17th verse, it tells, I'm not quoting the scripture, but I'm just giving you a synopsis of the scripture. It said, make the best of your time. So I got to budget my time. I got to be economical with my time. I can't waste my time foolishly. And all of this is talking about time. Ecclesiastes tell us there's a time for everything. It's the time to do what God says do. And it's a time sometimes to do what we want to do. But God wants us to take care of his business first. Because if we take care of his business, I guarantee you, he's going to take care of your business. So we shouldn't let the desires of our heart or the passion of our flesh. Scripture writer word said, don't let nothing separate you from the love of God. So I'm not supposed to let my flesh, not supposed to let my body, not supposed to let my friends, not supposed to let my wife, not supposed to let nobody. I'm not supposed to put those things off because, see, God is fair. And if he gives you something to do, he knows that if you carry it out, there is a great reward. Just like sometimes when our parents tell us to do something and clean up our room, and then because, see, what happens here is that nobody knows when the Son of Man is coming. So we cannot be caught with our work undone. We have to do it. We have to secure these things without delay. I believe in the church covenant, some of the church covenants say we're supposed to what? Secure these things without delay. Romans 13:7 tells us, it says, give to everyone what you owe them. Now, we're going to get into that in a minute. But his words say, owe no man. It says, continuing the scripture, it says, if you owe taxes, pay them. We know that April the 15th is a great procrastination day. Now, we had from the beginning of January, February, March, we had 3.5 months to get our tax papers in order. But we procrastinate, and guess what? We end up owing Uncle Sam. They say, if revenue, then revenue. Wait a minute. If you owe somebody some money and you got a new pop, and you promise to give it to them, give it to them. Now, it's getting a little bit more interesting here. It says, if respect, then respect. It's a lot of people we don't have no respect for, but we should respect them. So why are we procrastinating on repenting? Why are we procrastinating on giving people the respect that they deserve? Because preaching long hair, got long hair, I don't give him the respect that he deserves because I don't like people with long hair because my head is bald. And what kind of nonsense is that? people, you can ask people, why don't you like this person or why don't you like that person or what has this person done to you? And they will tell you, no, that person has done anything to me. I have no quarrels with this individual. Well, why don't you respect them? Oh, it's just something about them. I just don't like them. But God's word said if they do respect, give them respect. If you owe them honor, give them honor. Because God's word said give honor to whom honor is due. But because we're so caught up in our frivolous ways, sometimes we don't give people honor. We don't give people recognition. We don't give people respect. We don't pay people. We don't do none of these things that we're supposed to do. And why is that? Because we procrastinate. But I'm telling you right now, while the blood is running warm in your veins, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but don't procrastinate in reconciling with your brother or your sister. This little thing has been going on way, way, way too long. Because, see, that procrastination, I've heard people say, well, I'm going to call such and such a person tomorrow. I'm going to make amends tomorrow. But now is a good time to make amends because, as I say, tomorrow is no guarantee on the activities of tomorrow. So it's best for us to do what it is that the Lord will have us to do. It's best for us to quit to keep first things first. Rather say seek ye first. That's a very important scripture right there. We're just doing things so backwards that sometimes doing the meridian heights of our pleasure. God is the last person, the last one that we have or that we were called on. But the first sign of trouble, we're supposed to call God. First sign of prosperity. Don't procrastinate and say, Lord, I thank you for that. After it's been got away, we're supposed to thank him in season. But see, some of us, as I say, we have gotten a little bit off track. We're not keeping first things first. We're not doing, you know, honoring our parents, our relatives, our people who are in position of authority. We're not doing these things. And you know what? And it's costing us. Now, Colossians, the third chapter, the 23rd verse, it tells us to say, whatever you do, work hard at me, as for the Lord and not for men. So sometimes, you know, we say we're working for man. Okay. One thing about it, if you think about it, what that demon is doing, he's using prosperity to draw men away from God. But God's word says over there in Exodus, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, and thou shalt not do any work. And then he goes about a list of all the things and all the people that should be idle on that day. But as I say, that demon, he uses prosperity. Because on Saturday, they pay time and a half. On Sunday, they pay double time. On holidays, they pay triple time. Now, you think I'm going to miss out on that? You think I'm going to miss that? Shoot, I could work Sunday and make as much as I do for the whole week. So God's word is telling us to keep him first. Do not let the seduction of the world keep you and separate you from the love of God. Now, I tell anybody that's working and work overtime, I say, look, I got a good suggestion for you. Instead of you going out there and buying, you know, exercising your spending power, why don't you take that little extra money that you get in your overtime and bank it? Save it for a rainy day. Be like that ant that's in that field that's gathering. That's gathering for the wintertime. Because if you notice, the season has changed. It's dark outside. Now, yesterday's 10 o'clock bright is a noonday sun. It's turning today, 7 o'clock, darker than 7 midnight. So it's getting dark out there. Work while it is yet day, while the opportunity is there. Don't procrastinate. Keep God first. Keep first things first. And see, God is not a taskmaster just like your employer is, because I guarantee you, you can work 6 straight weeks in a row, not missing a day. But then that Thursday or that Friday where your body's been wore down of that following week, you can't make it in, and you call in for work. When you go in the next day, you got a write-up. Now, you gave this man or this corporation or this job all of your time, all of these so many days in a row. Now, all of a sudden, you're not able to because your body's been shut down from working all this. But, hey, you got a write-up waiting on you. So I'm just saying that it's no need to procrastinate. All that time that we have given to that man, all that time we have given to their corporation, guess what? It's for naught. Ecclesiastes and Deuteronomy tell us not to procrastinate our vows. Wow. So if I say something to you, Brother Brown, I promise you something, I'm supposed to let my yea be yea and my nay be nay.
Amen. That's
when I
right.
put that promise out there, I'm supposed to keep it. Because, believe it or not, there's some people believe when you make them that promise or you tell them that you're going to be at a certain time or you tell them that you're going to deliver a certain package to them. There's some people that is looking forward to that. But as Ecclesiastes and Deuteronomy tell you, hey, keep your vows. Even God's word says it's better to not vow than to vow and break that vow. Because, see, that vow is a promise. So we don't cover, we have covered a whole lot of ground. Right? But first, seek ye. And see, that's the key. You know, you sometimes our brothers and our sisters in the Lord is more prosperous than we are. And we wonder why, how could they get along on working only 3 days a week? We're working 7 days and can't even make it. Why? And those other 4 days that they're not working, they're keeping God first. And the time that we're working, we don't have no time for God. So it gives us something to think about concerning God's word. It gives us something to meditate and to marinate on, because the day is truly getting short. Night is coming, and no man can work. Now, Brother Brown and I have discussed this on many, many different occasions. Don't let God catch you. Give with your work undone. If you owe somebody, pay them. If you're estranged from somebody, reconcile with them. What are we holding on to this anger for? Why are we continuously saying that I'm not ready? But guess what? You can't get ready on your own. It's impossible for somebody to get ready on their own. We all need God to help us navigate our way through the storms of life.
Amen. Yes,
don't be like those virgins. Spiritually, good people, but they were foolish. Why? Because they did not make the preparations that they needed. And what about the young man that when they were invited to the feast, said, wait a minute, man. Hold on a minute, man. I just got married, and, you know, me and the wife, we're going to consummate our vows and our wedding today. Then I would come, but guess what? This is another one. But I just got a yoke of oxen, and I'm going to plow. I'm going to plow the land. Now, if I want to modernize it, oh, man, I can't go, man. Shoot, the Lions play tomorrow. playoff game is on. Now, we come up with the most feeblest of excuses. Now, if you think about it, everything right now is basically live stream. If you don't get it now, you can get it later.
That's right.
But those assignments that the Lord gave you to do, he wants you to secure those without delay. He wants you to do those things now. Don't put off today. He don't want you to put him on hold because, and I think that probably was one of the worst things that they could have done. And that's that call wait, because, see, we tell so many lies with the call wait. now, this is Saturday night, and I get a call, and I'm talking to somebody. I'm telling them, well, hey, that's my dentist. Calling me on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock. And he wants me to make an appointment for December the 12th. Okay, let me talk to him. And a lot of us, we'll go ahead and handle your business. So we're not supposed to put God on hold for less important things. Supposed to say, excuse me, I am communing with the Lord, or either I'll call you back, or either you call me back, or I'll call you back when I get off the phone. But see, we done just got too crazy with this situation. Keep God first. It's not hard to do. It's not going to cost you anything. It's not going to prevent you from doing anything. It's going to prevent you from doing wrong, because you're occupying your time with good things, occupying your time with healthy things. So we have to keep this in mind that, as I said, when I could, I wouldn't. Not that I want to, I can't. It's just one to take care of first things first. Make God a priority in your life. And if you make him a priority in your life, he will be a priority. You take care of his business, everything else he has on to switch your business, your wants, your desires, your faith. God will, if you behave yourself, he might get yourself out. So I thank God for, once again, this opportunity. I thank him for allowing me to speak to you tonight on his behalf. I'll now turn you over to Brother Brown. God bless you and may ever keep you.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. Thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox, for delivering another powerful word from the Lord on tonight. A much needed word for such a time that we are living in on today. Yes, we need to go back to our first love. When we first fell in love with Jesus Christ, putting first things first. And the word of God does tell us, he lets us know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. That's why I always love to remind people that God is a promise keeper. He's still watching over his word to perform it in the lives of his people. He still sits high and he looks low. He knows what you're doing. He knows what I'm doing. That's going to give him glory, honor, and praise as being an ambassador, a vessel, or a servant of the Most High God, doing the will of God in the earth. So don't let anyone hinder you or stop you or block you from doing what God has called and anointed for you to do. That's going to give him glory, honor, and praise through and out of your life. So as we just heard through the word and through the man of God on tonight, that's what the word of God tells us, that he is. He says it in his own word. God lets us know that he is a jealous God. And no one before God. He should always be first place in our hearts and in our lives every day. So I pray that this word has been received on tonight. Thank you again so much, Deacon Marvin Cox, for standing on the wall. And you're doing a great work for the Lord, and you can't come down. So you continue to be faithful, not only to you, Deacon Marvin Cox, but to every listener that has been on the wall, whether you are a seasoned saint or whether you're a new babe in Christ that has just given your life to Jesus Christ and you're fulfilling your God purpose in the earth. Don't give up now. Don't throw in the towel. God sees your works. And he said, our works do follow us. That's a promise from God. So our labor, thank God, is not in vain. When we are trying to be in pleasing to God and doing his will according to his word and according to his way, then God be glorified through each one of us. We need to continue to learn how to encourage one another in God's word. We need to learn how to support one another in the ministry, the sisters and brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to learn how to pray for one another, cover one another in prayer. Cover your pastor in prayer, the ministry that God has placed you in. Continue to lift up your family members, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, even enemies, lift them up in prayer. Continue to lift up our president, our United States of America, the world. Continue to lift up our world in prayer. Prayer changes things and people too. So we thank God for the word that lets us know that the prayers of the righteous still avail as much. So I'm going to, after listening on tonight, as I always do, please continue to encourage one another in God's word. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't lose your faith. Continue to hold on to God's unchanging, unfailing hand, knowing that he is a promise keeper. He said, once we're saved in Jesus' name, then nothing and no one can pluck us out of his hand. What a mighty promise. So we're going to get ready to close out for tonight. Once again, thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox, for delivering and sharing with us another inspirational poem and this awesome word on tonight. And this is titled, First Things First. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again on tonight, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're worthy to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every angel that you have encamped all over us while we slumber and sleep through the night, even watch over us while we travel throughout the day, even in our own homes, your angels watches over us. We don't take it lightly or for granted. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in every believer in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works and it will never lose its power. We thank you for being a promise keeper. You said that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So Heavenly Father, let us be always reminded, always be mindful that you are our everything, and we should always look up to the hills from which comes our help. For all of our help comes from you. So we bless your name on tonight. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you and we magnify your name. We say hallelujah anyhow and through it all because you are truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. In the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we pray that you will continue to move by your spirit in every believer individually and then as a corporate body of believers, that you will have your way in each one of us and through every ministry in the earth, that you alone get the glory. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So on tonight, again, as I always say, know that I love you. But guess what? You know what? God loves you even more. So stand on his word and on his promise, knowing that we're covered by the Lord. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. Cover me, Lord,
Say, oh yes, hallelujah, yes.